Richmond resident Melissa Ansley Brooks watched the violence in Charlottesville unfold on the news and social media. She knew she had to do something.
I thought, you know, I'm always one to say, okay, now what's my part? What do I do in this? And I have a small child, and it's important to me to be in community and for him to be able to see what community looks like, to be modeled. And so I said, well, it's time to get the neighborhood together.
Brooks announced a peaceful picnic on social media, and the next day, neighbors shared snacks and sandwiches as kids ran around Libby Hill Park. Brooks, who's white, says following Charlottesville, she's going to be more vocal about what she's seeing.
Hatred, segregation, racism, bigotry, these are concepts that we can come together and say, this is absolutely not okay.
Brooks says another piece of advice she's put into action, use your power and privilege to help lift people up.
Tina, I'm so glad to see you!
How are you, friend?
Good!
Educator Tina Bueno came out with a hula hoop and a sign she'd been working on since the previous night.
Love is love. Love is real. Powerful and inclusive.
Bueno said after feeling anxious on Saturday, she wanted to do something positive.
This was a good way of just like being inclusive and, you know, having a moment where people can come out and meet their neighbors and we can all get to know each other a little bit better, because it's a lot harder to put people into boxes and stereotypes and things. And so maybe you'll understand or can have a more nuanced conversation later if you've really got to know a wide set of neighbors.
A few hours later, several hundred people came to Richmond's Reconciliation Statue for a vigil organized by Delegate Dolores McQuinn and the Virginia Center for Inclusive Communities.
The people of goodwill who are joined at this place today, you get it. You get it that this is about acceptance and not just tolerance. I'm tired of trying to tolerate people. I tolerate my children when they don't wash dishes. It's about accepting one another as human beings and treating each other as if they're human beings. Human beings that we love.
After the gathering, Delegate Jennifer McClellan said she came to show unity and for personal healing.
You know, my father was born in 1925, my mother in 1932. You know, we have family stories going back to, you know, their grandparents. It's not that far removed. And I think every incident makes you emotionally tired. But it also, it like, you know, rips a Band-Aid off a wound that never really healed.
McClellan said Charlottesville made her feel the same way she did after the mass shooting by a white supremacist in Charleston.
And it's sort of a gut punch that I never expected to see in 2017. And I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm not. And I think, you know, I caught myself yesterday as I was out and about and I'd see certain people and I'd wonder, like, do you hate me too? And to feel a sense of insecurity that my parents felt 50 years ago is, on the one hand, emotionally draining. On the other hand, is empowering. Because I know we still have a lot of work to do. And I owe it to them to keep up that work. You know, I'm chair of the Martin Luther King Jr. Commission. And part of our mission is to keep doing the work to achieve his beloved community. And so I go back to his words and the things he said when he got tired. And if he could do it, you know, if he could keep going, then so can I.
Another way the community is responding in Richmond, mental health professionals are volunteering counseling services for people who witness the violence. Those following the events from a distance can experience trauma too.
The interesting thing about trauma is that everybody really can react to it differently.
Kathy Ryan is a psychotherapist and social worker with Greater Richmond SCAN, which facilitates the area's trauma-informed community network.
Some people will get more anxious and more aroused and worked up by it, and other people shut down by it. Some people you won't even notice are affected by it, but they really have been affected by it.
Symptoms might include difficulty sleeping and concentrating, loss of appetite, or becoming withdrawn. Ryan says family, friends, and coworkers can be on the lookout for those experiencing trauma.
I think the most important thing is to reach out to somebody and reach out to your friends and to your colleagues and family members and just, how are you doing? How are things going for you? What kind? And it can be just an easygoing conversation. It doesn't have to get deep. But it really, reaching out and saying, how are things going for you? Did you see things going on in Charlottesville? How did that affect you? Or is it bothering you? What's going on for you these days?
When children ask about the events in Charlottesville, Ryan says parents and caregivers should communicate a sense of safety. She says young people might not show signs of trauma right away. When they do, she suggests using art or dialogue to give them a way to express what they're feeling.
We know that trying to shut down conversation about traumatic events never helps. And it may not come out with language. We hope that eventually it will, that children will eventually talk about what's on their mind. But knowing that, really it's a healthy coping mechanism to be able to externalize and to express things that are bothering us. It's an important skill to develop and tool to have.
Advocates also point out that many people are responding to trauma, violence, and structural racism on a daily basis.
I think that people in community, particularly Black and Brown folks in community, have been managing, navigating these things for centuries.
Stacey Vicchetti is the director of the Virginia Anti-Violence Project. The nonprofit provides support and resources for the LGBTQ community while focusing on racial justice and intersectionality. That's the term to describe the layering of discrimination and oppression. For example, when someone is Black and Jewish, or Black, Jewish, and LGBTQ. She says the symptoms of trauma and the strategies people use for self-care are going to be different depending on people's backgrounds and experiences.
There might be an introvert that is a journal, you know, uses journaling to sort of navigate some of the feelings that are coming up, whereas other folks might need to really push and be out in community and be taking a very active, physical, kind of kinetic response. And that is how that's how they're going to sort of manage the stress and anxiety of what they're feeling. So it really, there's no blanket answer. It really is up to us as individuals to sort of figure out what we need, and then to be able to communicate that to our friends, to our family, to our community, to the organizations that are working in community, so that we can provide tools and spaces for a variety of people's needs.
For Spanish-speaking immigrants that may want to talk about the events in Charlottesville, the group's Flora Lopez says there are weekly gatherings called community reunions, where people come together to build relationships.
If there's the need for maybe people to process relevant events that have been recently happening that they feel the need to like process and talk about, that would be a good space. And I will also say, because the immigrant community is so big, that space is centered in having conversations in Spanish.
Several impromptu initiatives emerged just hours after the chaos in Charlottesville. The social justice and mental health group, the Icarus Project, organized a listening space Saturday night, centering on people of color and those who witnessed the violence. The group Revolutionary Self-Care highlighted a crowdsourced document where people were sharing their strategies for responding to trauma and building resiliency. Within hours, it was translated into Spanish.
This is really about exploring different ways that folks, as they're doing, you know, justice work of taking care and doing healing work, and that it can be, that it's an individual and it's also a collective process. And so this is, you know, kind of in mirroring that spirit, this was crowdsourced, you know, so many folks could opt in and share, this is what works for me, this is what I do when I'm feeling angry or sad, or when I want to build power, when I want to ground myself, this is the very least that I can do in this moment. You know, it's just a beautiful collective, and I think really shows the amazing work that's been happening over generations.
The 10-page document has hundreds of suggestions, from using art to express anger or sadness, to unplugging and walking barefoot in the grass.
There are self-care strategies that we can use that are kind of short-term self-care, and then there are longer haul self-care. And I think both are important to have in our toolbox because both are very, very necessary.
Vachetti points out that for a white person like her, the response to Charlottesville or other racial violence and imagery can be a lot easier to navigate.
You know, self-care is a privilege that I have every day. You know what I mean? I can take a self-care moment and I can opt in or out of conversations about racism. Folks of color do not have that option to opt in or out. And so there's a responsibility that I have as a white person in this moment that's different than folks of color have.
She adds, this is a great opportunity for people to go beyond statements condemning what happened.
I have sort of internally been wrestling with like this like pull to like say something. You know what I mean? It's like, ugh, we're, you know, more blah, blah. I don't need any more words. You know what I mean? We don't need more words. Now is the time for action. And so what, you know, our organizational focus is on how do we provide support and a response to folks that are disproportionately impacted by state-sanctioned white, you know, violence and white supremacy. And so beyond a statement, what are we doing?
Elected officials need to prioritize these issues too, says Delegate Jennifer McClellan. After Saturday's vigil, she said the General Assembly needs to address structural racism and discriminatory laws and policies.
There's still some systematic things that impact certain communities more than others that we need to address. I think we still have a long way to go to make sure we're telling a complete story about Virginia's history. And I think those are some of the things we're going to focus on.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber winds of rain, for
advocates say there is a lot of work to do to respond to the trauma caused by centuries of white supremacy. This Friday, educator and peace activist Ram Bhagat and the national group Community Healing Network will bring people together to talk about the emotional emancipation, healing, and wellness of Black people and the role they can play in building that movement. For Virginia Currents, I'm Catherine Comp, WCVE News.